Hello and welcome to House of Fire and Blood, the podcast where we ask, what if George R. R. Martin's Fire and Blood were told more like HBO's show, House of the Dragon? Hello and welcome to House of Fire and Blood. My name is Caroline and I'm here with Gretchen.
Hey everyone, this is Gretchen. I use they, them pronouns.
Oh, I forgot my pronouns. My name is Caroline. I use she, her pronouns. My bad. It's been a few weeks since we recorded. I'm rusty. So today we are going to review the third and final official trailer that was released for House of the Dragon Season 2, which comes out in just a few days. I think it's Sunday the 16th.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm very excited. So spoilers for this episode, guys, full spoilers for the show and the books, because we're going to be watching scenes and obviously trying to figure out what scenes they are. So if you have not read the book and if you do not want potential spoilers for season two, do beware, leave now. What's the thing from the Inferno? Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
Yeah. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
Yeah. Yeah. Or stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast and we'll see you in season two, which is what we're going to be starting that here real soon.
Yes, yes. When the next pod in the feed should be our season two reviews or analysis of Fire and Blood, the book, where we'll be picking up actually just before where the show House of the Dragon started.
We're going to be starting to cover material that we see in the first season of House of the Dragon. So,
yeah, cool, exactly. Mm-hmm. And my material that for some reason is in the books but not in the show, weirdly enough. Which, well, I think that'll lead to some excellent discussion. But we are going to watch this trailer, so I'm going to go ahead and play it now. We're going to play it through, and then we will sit down and meticulously go through it, scene by scene. So we can go ahead and start that now.
I'm really grateful for the captions because they tell me who's talking.
Yes. Or a queen. Some really cool shots of various people. They are a
protector of the realm. Okay, so she's giving her thesis on how to be a good ruler.
Now I find myself in an impossible position.
Yes. The enemy has usurped my throne, that is true. Ooh, we're going to get stabby.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out which battles are happening this season.
What are we going to do about it?
Just sitting there with the Dagger of Destiny. It's fine.
Proceed cautious. Fuck dignity.
Ooh, fuck dignity. Oh. I want revenge.
Fuck dignity. Do you get that? Oh, I guess because he's probably mad about the kids. Ooh, dragon. Okay. I couldn't tell either. We'll have to take a look.
Maybe Moondancer.
I did not think they would be so eager to die.
Daemon looked very Daemon there.
My ships sail at your command.
Oh, Corlys. Okay, his wig looks so much better. I think we've said it before, yes. But I'm going to say it again. His wig looks so much better.
Is
this
leader strong enough to unite?
Yes, I agree. Oh, the dragons. Caraxes.
Do you? Ooh. I cannot wait for the scene. Do you accept me as your queen and ruler? Oh, it's going to be spicy.
Oh.
Oh, look on her face.
Oh.
Oh, he probably said nothing. Okay, so Aegon on his helmet. Cool helmet.
Shall now us prevail?
Not like this.
We get some touch of Alicent.
It's like, what's this dragon in the rain? Where does that come from?
Okay.
The north? Oh, is that Kraegan Stark? Is that Kraegan Stark?
It might be.
Then that might be Kraegan Stark.
Oh, she looks rough. Aegon looks rough. They both look rough.
Yeah.
I don't know who that character is.
Yeah.
The black there character. There's more than one way to fight. Ooh, Masari is back.
Ooh, yeah.
Nice. Oh,
horses. Oh, I wonder if that's Rook's Rest.
Yeah, maybe. That saddle looks cool.
Yeah.
War is coming. Oh, this shot to end it. Ooh. It is so good.
All right, what color Targaryen sigil? Oh, no, it just disappeared. Okay. All right. Okay. Very exciting.
Very excited. Also, there was the line that I love, that one of the lines, of course, I love the most about this is when I think it's Aemond. Aemond is saying our queen holds love for the enemy. And I'm like, yes, she does. Alicent loves
she does.
Her.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Oh, speaking of which, before we jump into this trailer, For our viewers, Gretchen and I have spent the past several weeks sending each other pictures of various photo shoots of Emma Darcy.
Oh my god.
They need to stop. They need to... And the photo shoot with Emma Darcy and, I forget the name of the actor who plays Allison. Olivia Cooke. That was obviously, that was intentionally meant to be sexual.
Right.
That photo shoot. The one with, it's the photo shoot with, I think it's with, I forget if it was Vogue or Vanity Fair, but Olivia Cooke's in that green jacket and Emma Darcy's in, like, I don't know, some kind of black outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Destroying me. Yep. Inside. Yep. They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, please... I don't need to be called out like this.
Yeah, the promos for this season have been very gay.
So gay.
Like, both because Emma Darcy is, like, so attractive, and it's not mm-hmm. fair. The way that they can pull off the, like, 90s Don Bluth boy mm-hmm. haircut, which, like, doesn't really look good on a lot of people, but, like, they look fucking amazing with that haircut. Mm-hmm. And also the way that they interact. Like, there's one where they're, like, dancing together and they're, like, you know, very close to each other and looking deeply in each other's eyes and spinning in a circle. And I was like, it's the Dance of Dragons. I get it. But also that is very gay. Like, it's very gay.
I really hope for Olivia Cooke's sake that Olivia and Emma are fucking on the side. Like, I really hope. Like, I would love that.
Yes.
I ship that so hard.
Yeah.
But what I find interesting about it is that, like, I don't know if you could think of an example, but I can't think of an example of an actor who is cast to play a woman, mm-hmm. who is playing a woman on screen, who is then so or is more masculine in real life, I suppose, would be the way to say it. Not mm-hmm. so masculine, but more masculine in real life. And is, like, allowed to be that way in, like, their promo photo shoots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that stuff's all, like, really controlled by the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And... even 10 years ago, I don't think they would have been allowed to do that.
I don't think so either.
I think that HBO would have said, Emma, you're wearing a dress for this.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, this is what's happened. You have to wear makeup. You have to do this thing. Like, we're making you do these things. These are the promos for the show.
Right.
You don't get to choose. We get to choose.
Right.
Because they are the ones who get to choose.
Right. If you're promoting the show, then you should... visibly look more like your character's presentation,
mm-hmm.
the character that you're playing with their presentation. So yeah, more femme. Because, like, the only other person that I can think of recently is Bella Ramsey, but, like, Bella doesn't play a super femme character in The Last of Us. So there's not a huge difference between the way that Bella looks
right
on the red carpet versus on the show, because.
Right, exactly. And Ellie, as a character, is confirmed queer in some fashion. I mean, she doesn't look at the camera and say, I am a lesbian, but she has a romantic relationship with another girl. So it's confirmed in the script that she's gay in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see the interview where Bella Ramsey met Emma Darcy?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was adorable.
Oh my god, it was so cute. It was so cute. I saw one section of it. I'll try to find links to these things. If I can, guys, I'll put them in the description. But one section of it was they were asked the question, have you gotten to meet your celebrity crush?
That one was really...
And Bella says yes and looks at Emma Darcy.
And this says something about how, like Emma's like, what was it like? And Bella's like, it was really, like, awkward, or, like, says something about, like, how it's awkward and you don't really know what to say. And
yeah,
it was great. Bella has good taste.
It was fantastic. But I mean, that must be so impactful for Bella, you know, to have someone like Emma Darcy also in the industry, you know, at this point, because Bella's really young. They're like maybe 20 at this point,
because mm-hmm.
they were 19-ish when the first season filmed.
Right.
So they're like 20, 21, like that.
And how old is Emma?
I think in their 30s.
That's what
I want to say, late 20s, early 30s. I could be wrong.
31.
Oh, we're almost the same age. We could be lovers. Yeah. Emma Darcy.
Notice me.
Senpai, notice me. I have a podcast about a book that's related to a show that you're in.
We love you. We think you're great. We talk about you all the time.
We do. We talk about you. No, you guys will just see the chat between me and Gretchen because it shows us sending pictures back and forth.
It's just sending TikToks back and forth to each other and just being like, yeah, they need to stop. I feel attacked.
We should talk. Let's talk about the trailer, but we should talk about some of those TikToks I sent you also. Because some of those made me mad. But anyway, okay. Back to the trailer.
Okay.
So we are going to go through the trailer more or less second by second or scene by scene and discuss. So let's go ahead and get started. So we start out with, like you were saying before. Oh, wait, I screwed it up. Try again. There we go. Okay. We start out with shots of the throne room.
I can't tell if that is Aemond or Daemon from the back because they look very similar.
That is an excellent point. I assumed it was Daemon, but I don't know. Is he leaning? Daemon's a leaner. So is he leaning?
I feel like Aemond also sometimes leans, but he's trying to mimic Daemon.
I think that's Daemon, but if that is, that would have to be a shot from like late season.
Right.
For them to be back in King's Landing.
I'm paused at 12 seconds because I wanted to... There's a thing to talk about here, and also I wanted to talk about what Rhaenyra says here.
Okay.
So when I first watched this trailer, one of the things that I thought about with Rhaenyra's opening statement about, like, you know, whoever sits there on throne is not just a king or queen, they're also a protector of the realm. I was like, ping! Sounds like Stannis! Because they... Rhaenyra, as depicted on the show, I think has a lot in common with what we see Stannis, and I think Stannis is meant to be a foreshadowing of Dany. Like, they're meant to, like, be read similarly as, like, but first I'll talk about Rhaenyra and Stannis. So, as depicted on the show, I don't think that Rhaenyra comes across that way in Fire and Blood because of the misogynist... the misogynist lens.
Yeah, it's too thick.
Right, but as depicted on the show, we see Rhaenyra as someone who is the legitimate ruler, but a lot of the court doesn't, and lords, like, don't like her because she does not play by their rules and expectations. She's not, like, you know, congenial. She doesn't flatter them. She's, you know, like, she kind of does things the way that she wants, and she doesn't worry about pissing people off. Like, she's less concerned with playing politics. Her reputation is more negative than in actuality. Like, people would say stuff about her, you know, like, she's a slut. She's, you know, all of the things. But, like, you meet her and, like, she's really reasonable. I'm sure we'll get more of this as the show goes on, like, depicting her as, like, this kind of hysterical woman figure who's, you know, and the book definitely, Fire and Blood, depicts her as, like, power-hungry, mad queen, Maegor with teats, you know, like, but the actuality is different. It's much less negative. She's also fair, like, depicted as the reasonable one, surrounded by, like, a lot of men who are either violent menaces or incompetent, who I want to call, like, incompetent and hollow figureheads. Like, who, like, either want to, like, drink and fuck or, like, just don't want to be in charge but are because man. And, like, she wants to do the right thing for the realm, but that might involve, that might end up being, like, brutal and more people might die than she actually wants because, but she still, like, deep down wants to do the right thing. And I put all that together, and I'm like, sounds like Stannis. Sounds like Stannis Baratheon.
It does sound like Stannis. It does sound like Stannis Baratheon. And I think also we're going to see them both be pushed to extremes.
Yes.
To, and they're both trying to follow the rules, right? Like Rhaenyra's, like, my father named me heir. I am the heir.
Right.
And if the, I mean, if the question truly was, we talked about this previously, if the question truly was what's better for the realm, the best thing for the realm, for the people, is the one that leads to the least death.
Right.
You know? And so, like, her ceding power to Aegon would lead to less death because there'd be no war, right? But that's a killing of herself in a way. We talked about this on a previous podcast. You brought this up. That she has to, like, sacrifice her herself and like the meaning of her legitimacy, whatever, right. in that sense. So, and Stannis in a similar way, Stannis is like, I'm right, the rightful one, because I'm not, you know, because I'm the brother of the king and his children are bastards. So like lawfully, I'm mm-hmm. the rightful heir. I must pursue,
right.
even though like him pursuing is causing more violence.
Right.
So yeah, no, that's a really good parallel. I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Right. And like, I was thinking about when she said like, the rightful ruler is the protector of the realm. Like Stannis has a very mm-hmm. similar like stance when he goes to the wall. Like that's why he goes to the wall.
Right.
It's not necessarily because he believes he's Azor Ahai. Like Stannis mm-hmm. is like not actually all that sold on like believing he's the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
Like Melisandre is clearly a convenient conduit of power for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really have a lot of allies. But, like, he clearly, I think it's clear that, like, Stannis, of all of the people who claim to be king during the War of the Five Kings, Stannis is literally the only one who believes that the others are coming.
Right. And he's the only one that responds
right.
to the wall, that takes the safety of the realm seriously.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm. And he, because he has that belief that, like, if I am to prove myself as, like, the... like the true king that I believe that I am, I have to do the right thing. Like I have to prove it by like actually protecting the realm, even if no one believes me, and even if I lose allies, like I need to go to the wall and I need to like defend against the others because that's the true threat. And like
mm-hmm.
I feel like, well, I mean, we'll have to see what this means for Rhaenyra, but she is at least verbally expressing a similar kind of sentiment that like she believes mm-hmm. that ultimately like part of her role as being the legitimate ruler of Westeros means that she is a protector of the realm. Versus someone like Aegon, who's just kind of like, fuck dignity, I want revenge. And like,
right.
as we've seen in previous trailers, is just like, I want to go to war. War is great. War is fun. Like,
And I mean, that's something that was taught to Rhaenyra from her father. That, you know, Viserys taught that to Rhaenyra in season one. Like that you have to, you are the protector of the mm-hmm. realm. And then here's the magical destiny dagger. And we have a magical destiny on top of that.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's a good, I think it's a good thing for a ruler in this context to think that, they're meant to protect the realm, not just meant to like fight and fuck and drink, you know, like a la right. Robert Baratheon,
mm-hmm.
you know? Interesting.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, and I do think that Stannis is also, like, that both of these are meant to foreshadow Daenerys as, like, someone who's going to come in and people are going to be like, the fuck are you doing here? Why mm-hmm. should we listen to you? Like, that Daenerys, that when we see Rhaenyra and Aegon, we should also be thinking of Daenerys in the books, because we didn't get this on mm-hmm. the show, we should be thinking of Daenerys and Faegon. That Faegon will be crowned mm-hmm. in King's Landing as the heir of Rhaegar, and Dany's gonna come in and be like, you're a fake, I'm the, you know, mm-hmm. I am the, like, if we're talking about the heir of Rhaegar, I'm the legitimate heir, but people aren't going to believe her because she's a woman and Aegon's a dude mm-hmm. and like he has charisma, she's coming with a foreign army, you know, that there are going to be all these things stacked against yeah. Dany as the legitimate ruler, and the same as we're seeing with Rhaenyra, and the same that we've seen with Stannis, and that her mm-hmm. stance is going to be like, I want to do what's best for the realm. And more people might end up dying than she wants.
Well, I wonder if Daenerys, in a similar way to Stannis, will just go north.
Yes, I think.
Like, if she, because, and that's the kind of thing that I could see Book Dany doing. Book Dany looking at it being like, where am I needed?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where can I actually make a difference?
Yep.
You know, the north is where, like, shit's going down. I have dragons that breathe fire. Let's go north.
Yep. Yeah.
You know.
I think that we're going to see her going north. I mean, she did in the show, and we can't use the show necessarily as, you know, for what's going to happen in the books. But if
let's not talk about the bad show, okay? I don't want to talk about the bad show and the bad thing they did to my favorite dragon, Viserion.
Right. But if Martin ever decides to write The Winds of Winter, I think we might get Dany going north.
Dude, we're going to finish this whole podcast. Like, the whole thing. Like, the entire analysis of the 700-page book and all the trailers that come out for the show in between, etc., before Winds of Winter comes mm-hmm. out. I don't know that we're ever getting Winds of Winter.
Yep.
I get less and less faith. But anyway, alas, we do. What we do have is House of the Dragon.
We do have is House of the Dragon.
Yeah, so I like that protector of the realm. Okay, so then we get like a shot of Rhaenyra mm-hmm. herself. You know, because that's what she's thinking about. She's thinking like, how do I protect the realm? And then we get like a bunch of these like very quick shots of shit in King's Landing. A lot of her staring out into the ocean thinking.
Did you catch the eggs at 12 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to hatch eggs.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like,
who's trying to hatch eggs at this point?
It's gotta be Daemon, right? I mean, we saw him caring about the eggs in season one.
Yeah, I guess it's just, it's gotta be Daemon. But there aren't any, I mean, in the book at least, there aren't any, like, hatchlings that happen at this time that matter. All the dragons that matter have already been born, or Moondancer isn't born until later.
Right, yep.
Because Moondancer's born in the Vale. It's like the only dragon not born in and around Dragonstone, I think.
No, Moondancer is around because Baela is a Dragonrider. I think you're thinking of Rhaena's dragon.
Oh, that right, Morning. Morning. That dragon's Morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Morning is born in the Vale.
Yeah.
Moondancer does already exist, you're right.
But yeah, I saw that shot and I was like, three dragons in a fire. Three dragon eggs in a fire. Are you foreshadowing Daenerys Targaryen, maybe? Is that what this is? Is that you just, subtle reminder that this will happen again? Three eggs in a fire?
I wonder if the season will start again with, like, 170 some odd years before Daenerys. This shit went down. The show, House of the Dragon, you do not need to acknowledge the bad show. We are pretending the bad show didn't exist.
Right. Okay, so where are you at?
So as if you from 12 seconds on, there's just like a lot of these like kind of quick scenes that don't show very much. Mm-hmm. A lot of Rhaenyra thinking and monologuing about being a leader, etc.
Right.
We get another shot of her at about 27 seconds, 26, 27 seconds, where she's talking about the enemy usurping her throne.
Yep. I really like her costume. I think this same dress shows up a couple times. Ooh, I think this might be the dragon head pauldron dress, but with the pauldrons removed.
Possibly.
I'm just noticing there's very similar scaling on her shoulders that are coming down, and I wonder if it's the same thing. But whatever it is, I really like this too. Their costuming is really great. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I do like the costume. I think it's a different costume designer, is my understanding.
Okay.
But I haven't looked into it too much myself. So then there's this neat shot of Rhaenyra picking up a sword, which is interesting. Do you have thoughts? What do you think?
I was just wondering if any of those are Valyrian steel swords, mayhaps?
I can't tell.
Tell either.
Well, the thing that two things. One, I wonder why at this point Rhaenyra wouldn't start practicing with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if she's never done it before, like at this point when you're in like open war, right. Like I would just like start, get some experience in. There's also a battle, I forget which one. There's a battle in the books where Rhaenyra goes on her dragon and she wears armor. She wears full plate.
Oh, yeah.
So there's at some point, hopefully, going to be a Rhaenyra in full plate on.
Oh my god.
On dragon thing. I know.
Emma Darcy in full plate armor.
I was about to say me and Gretchen just wanting Emma Darcy to be in full plate.
Oh, fuck me. It's gonna, oh man.
Can it get gayer than that? I don't even know. Happy Pride Month, everyone.
Happy Pride. Emma Darcy is amazing.
So, I don't know if they're doing something like that where she's starting to think about like also being a warrior.
Right.
Because there's no reason she can't be a warrior. You can't tell me that dinky little Aegon is all that much stronger than she is.
Yeah, the kid who likes to piss out of windows, like, is probably not going to be super martial.
No, definitely not. So, I think that would be interesting.
I am, we've seen a couple, we've seen Daemon, we'll see Daemon and Rhaenys a couple of times in this trailer, and I'm wondering if they're setting up for them to be kind of the devil and the angel on Rhaenyra's shoulder, that like Rhaenys is going to be like the moderating, like reasonable voice of reason, let's do that, and then Daemon, like, it's just a thing that wouldn't surprise me because it fits so well within their characters for Rhaenys to be like, and she gets the last line of the trailer that about like war is coming and no one is going to win. Like, that's such a Rhaenys, it fits with other lines we've gotten from Rhaenys in these trailers. For her to be like, let's minimize casualties, stop fighting as soon as possible. And Damon, of course, is like, he has a line in this trailer that's like, well, I didn't think that they'd want to die, that they'd be that ready to die. And it's like, cool, okay. Damon, you just want to murder people, right? Like,
Damon's like, what if we kill small children?
Yeah. What if we cut people's hands off and, you know, yeah. for funsies because they, like, stole some bread. Sounds yeah. great.
Damon also had 30 seconds wearing his Eva Craft foam pauldrons. Love that. Uh-huh. Love that for him.
Oh, right. It was this scene that made me think that because it's the two of them talking. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like, and he's telling mm-hmm. her, like, we're going to war. Teehee.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wonder if they're going to set that up for this season, which I think would be really interesting.
Especially considering if they end on Rook's Rest. So, like, if they set up that dichotomy mm-hmm. and, like, Rhaenys is the moderating influence and then she dies at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
you know? And as we've learned that, by the way, the season's only going to be 8 episodes, I think they said.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, what we're hoping is that that means that there's not filler
mm-hmm.
and that they're... And I think ending at Rook's Rest would make sense. Though there's another potential ending point, which we could talk about later.
Yep.
But if they had that dichotomy and then, like, Rhaenyra loses her moderating influence, you know, then that could really affect season 3 and sort of add to that, like, if there is going to be a, like, a downward spiral, kind of add to
right.
to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the next bit of scenes we get are the Greens. Little dork here holding his little knife.
Okay, so I have a note of, like, what does he think that knife is for? Like, I imagine he just thinks it's a dagger. So, like, I really enjoy yeah. that he's just kind of, like, flipping it around. And, like, I kind of hope that at some point I see him doing something deeply irreverent with it, like picking his teeth or, like, picking his fingernails.
Yeah.
Just because, like, that's the Targaryen dagger of destiny. And he's just, like, flinging it around. Like, because he doesn't know. But it would be deeply characterizing him for him to just be, like, really flippant and irreverent with this thing that's, like, that's your destiny, dude. Like, that's mm-hmm. the thing that's supposed to represent what you are for in this country.
If Viserys had just told all of the Targaryens, like, if he just told Alicent and the other children about the Dagger of Destiny and been like, you need to support Rhaenyra because she's the one,
mm-hmm.
like, all of this could have been avoided. He didn't have to keep that shit a secret.
This is not the Sith. This is not like there can only be one master right. and apprentice at the same time.
Exactly. Patty Considine, why you gotta tell everybody about it? Anyway, so he's like flipping around this dagger. We get some really cool shots of King's Landing.
Yeah.
Oh, look at those buildings, damn. Ugh. And I love Alicent and Aemond standing on the parapets looking out.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what they, like, talk about.
I don't know. Can you imagine? I hope we get some scenes with them, because we didn't really get any. Oh, you know what I wonder? We're finally going to get to see... Oh, we're just a few days away. We're finally going to get to see how Aemond explains the Vhagar chomp.
Oh, right. I wonder if this would... Like, this shot would make sense for that scene, for, like, the two of them talking, if he wants to, like, tell Mom alone.
Yeah, what tell happened? Mom the truth.
Yeah.
Because, so, like, I kind of wonder, I would take it in, I mean, I think there's several ways you could write it, but I think the two most interesting ways to write it would be he gets back and lies about it, but later tells Alicent
yep.
the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or he gets back in, like, a total panic, tells Alicent the truth first, and she spins it.
Mm. Ooh, both of those are good.
Yeah, like, I would like both of those things, as opposed to just him either, like, just him lying
uh-huh.
by himself. Like, I think it would, I mean, I think all those things work for characterization. I think there's, like, so many options for how you could do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it would also work for him to just lie about it, but, yeah, that's what they would talk about, if anything.
Uh-huh. Right. And then, of course, Otto is once again being like, we must play the board before us. And I'm like, dude, you don't have to. Like, but, like,
yeah,
Otto...
All roads lead to Rome, Gretchen, and Rome in this case is usurping the
is
throne.
Is usurping
That's,
the throne.
We can't,
yeah, but like...
It can't be avoided. It can't be avoided. We must do it.
Yep.
You know.
You are making me do this to you because you exist and are in my way. Like, Otto Hightower's job is to, like, artificially constrain the choices of the people around them and then, like, act as if, like... so that all of their choices become inevitable, and inevitable means it's the way he wants things to go. Like,
okay, it just can't happen any other
there's
way.
There's no other way
this
to
has,
do
this
it.
Has to go down. We must play the board before us that we set up.
I'm like, or you could not play. You could overturn the board. You could, like, there are plenty of things that you could do. You don't, you, this is an artificial choice, right. Otto Hightower.
Then we get, I had fun once it was terrible, Kristen Cole, at about 40 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And then we get our little fuck dignity line. So he's gotta be, Eamon has to be responding at about 43, 45 seconds. He's gotta be responding to the blood.
Right, yeah,
blood
this has gotta be blood and cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fair. That's
uh-huh.
a fair response.
Yeah, yeah.
His All right.
children are brutally wounded.
Yeah. Then we get some horses. Some of these shots are reused from previous mm-hmm. trailers. Like okay, let's at about 50 seconds there's a dragon. Whom's is this? Sea Smoke?
I feel like it's either Sea Smoke or Moon Dancer. In terms of coloring.
Yeah, you can't see the rider, unfortunately.
Right. But we know that those two dragons are potentially in play. Like, it's definitely not any of the red dragons. It's definitely not any of the gold dragons.
And it's not a big dragon.
Yeah, and it's not big. It's fairly young. So, yeah, I think it's either Sea Smoke or Moon Dancer. I lean towards Moon Dancer because we know Moon Dancer is a young dragon.
Yeah, whereas, like, it looks more younger than Sea Smoke.
I don't think we know how old Sea Smoke is, but, like, I feel like Sea Smoke's older than...
Sea Smoke is the same age as Laenor. Because Sea Smoke was born the same time that Laenor was
right,
born.
Right.
I actually just reread that in the book recently.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, it could be either.
Yeah. So then this is Otto Bainland. Like, the great houses will come to our side because they too are misogynist.
I mean, he's not entirely wrong.
Yeah, some of them do. Oh, this is the dress at 57. Rhaenyra's dress with the pauldrons. I think it's the same neckline, but it looks like a different dress. Because uh-huh. these pauldrons sort of sit on where the other embroidery was in the previous
right.
one.
Right, okay.
But she's rocking this, like, V-neck situation.
Mm-hmm. They're doing V-necks a lot for her.
Yeah. I like that. I think it's nice.
I feel like Alicent has a square neckline. Square or
Yeah,
round?
She's like a rounder. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Let's see, some boats and some things, and then
those are Corliss boats.
Yeah, we have Corliss at 104. His wig does look much better. You're correct.
He looks so
much
good.
Much better.
He looks so good. Oh, love Corliss.
He does look so good. He's the man.
Yes.
Love him. We get some dragon. That's gotta be Caraxes.
Yeah,
because yeah,
there's Daemon. with his Eva from Baldur's.
And his less silly dragon helmet.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Yep. And
there he goes. Whee!
Right. And
he goes
and
jumping off the cliff.
His theory of leadership is that you got to be strong. Rather than necessarily primarily protector first, you got to be strong. And then, yeah, this line that we said earlier where Rhaenyra says, "Do you accept me as your queen and ruler?" And then, like, Daemon's just, like, quiet.
Oh, I can't wait. So I can't wait to see that scene.
Oh, man.
Oh my god. And Emma Darcy's face, like at 1 minute and 20 seconds when Rhaenyra is waiting for the response.
Yeah, if that shot is like a genuine reaction shot to what precedes, like, oh, she's just devastated. Mm-hmm. Like, clearly, like, my husband even does mm-hmm. not accept me as ruler. Which, like, I want to be like, look, Rhaenyra, honey, I feel like you kind of knew what you were getting with Daemon. Like, did you really think that Daemon Targaryen would, like, submit to a woman?
Daemon's like an incel on the internet, you know? Like, he you don't need his opinion. It's fine. Just move on. Use his dragons and it's okay.
Yep.
You don't need him to believe in mm-hmm. you. You believe in you. I believe
yeah.
in you, Rhaenyra.
Alicent loves you deep down. She's trapped.
Exactly.
She made a window in her prison and she could have just gotten out and you could have been together, but whatever.
She made a window in her prison. She sees you from afar and she wishes she could come get you, but she can't.
Okay, so question at
mm-hmm.
a minute, 23 seconds. Are those, do you think those wing membranes are kind of pinkish?
Are you suggesting that's Sunfire?
Yeah.
Oh, I was interpreting this dragon as red. I was thinking this was Caraxes, but the neck is not long enough.
And the, so and the next shot maybe is Aegon. The next shot after this one of like the dragon swooping around, I think it's the Sept.
Oh,
is Aegon. It has to be so this Sunfire. Has got to be Sunfire. Oh. And I was like, are those pinkish? Maybe my eyes are tricking me because I wanted so much.
They're a little bit pinkish, but I'm more upset because Sunfire's supposed to be gold and this dragon looks brown. I don't know, maybe it's just this shot.
Yeah, I think it is hard to tell exactly what color it is. And whenever I freeze frame it, it's kind of blurry. Because it's an action shot. But I was like, maybe when this with the sun behind it, they look kind of pinkish. Maybe we will get the pink. Maybe it'll be subtle pink.
I want it to be like bright pink, like a highlighter, you know?
Yeah, no,
like,
I agree.
Like pink and like gold. Not... Well, you know, I'll take whatever it is, House the Dragon, whatever you guys are giving
Isn't there actually a My Little Pony that is yellow and pink?
Yeah, oh yeah. Is that Shutterfly? Shutterfly.
No, I think you're right. I think it is Shutterfly. It's like yellow with like a pink mane and tail.
Oh, wait, let's find out if Caroline's knowledge from My Little Pony. I don't think it's Shutterfly because that's the company that prints pictures.
Or Fluttershy?
It might be Fluttershy. Hold on. Fluttershy. Yeah, I was right. It's the pink and yellow My Little Pony.
You were right. Fluttershy. Yeah, I want Sunfire to look like Fluttershy.
Fluttershy Targaryen over here. Sunfire might as well be the name Fluttershy. Come on. That is a My Little Pony name.
But I just had a moment of like, I think Maybe I'm just gaslighting myself because I want it so much, but I was like, are those tiny little pink?
Oh, God.
Anyway.
All right, I have a question. Uh-huh. At 1 minute 26 seconds, what is that? Storm's End? What castle is that? Because it's got the tall drum thing. Is that what we saw for Storm's End last season?
Yeah, it might be.
I think it is. Who would be marching on Storm's End? That's the next question. I'm not sure. Where does Rook's Rest happen?
Oh God, I don't remember. Caroline, I don't keep all of these things in my brain.
let's see.
I do themes and symbolism. I don't do battle history. Yes.
I'm gonna ask Google. Google, where does Rook's Rest? Rook's Rest is the seat north and east of King's Landing on the north coast of Blackwater Bay, east of Duskendale, but west of Cracklaw Point. So that's not where the Stormlands is.
But, okay, so we've got Blood and Cheese, Civil War in the Riverlands. I think we're definitely going to get some Civil War in the Riverlands stuff, which
maybe that's what's going on.
We have seen some shots of like Blackwood and Bracken in various trailers, and I think one of the upcoming shots has some sigils that I think our river lands ish. So it could be it's not, I know that I'm expecting Harrenhal to happen. There's like the assault at Harrenhal, but like I feel like this is probably Riverlands, but I don't know where.
Yeah, I can't really see the heraldry on the shields, so I can't figure out who's marching.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, there will be battles.
Right, yep.
Hopefully they're good at battles, like they're good at words.
Mm-hmm.
The next shot is Allison silhouetted against...
That's a really good shot.
...the window. They love putting Allison in front of a window to silhouette her. They did that in season one, too.
And it fits really well with that window in your prison. Like, yeah, I think that they're trying to visually make us think of Allison as having... of, like, making a window in her prison.
And this shot, which is at 1 minute and 28 seconds, the columns look like bars.
Yep.
of a prison. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And over which Alicent is saying, this senseless war must end? Mm-hmm. What? What? Alicent? Alicent? But it was you.
It was you did this.
It was you. You started it.
This is Alicent like, reaping. What do you mean? What the fuck?
Like, I'm confused. Mm-hmm.
At what point do you think she would say this? That's one of the things that has me curious. Is like, at what point would Alicent mm-hmm. be saying, this senseless war must end? I feel like it's got to be further on in the season, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. So it wouldn't be after Blood and Cheese, because that wouldn't make sense. Nope. She and the next shot is her talking to Aemond, and he says, would you not have us prevail? And she says, not like this. Mm-hmm. What would bother Alicent Hightower enough to say, like, no, don't do that? Oh, you know what else is going to probably happen this season? Is the twin switcheroo.
Yep, the cargo twins.
Eric and, mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric and Arik switcheroo. So maybe that's an assassination attempt.
Yeah, the other option would be Rook's Rest, right? Because that's where Aegon gets injured. Like, Aegon and Sunfire.
And where Rhaenys gets killed.
Rhaenys is killed.
Because Rhaenys, you know, Alicent might actually feel a certain way about Rhaenys' death because Rhaenys didn't kill Alicent.
Yeah, or anyone at the coronation.
Right. So Alicent might feel a certain way about them killing Rhaenys when Rhaenys spared them.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Yep. And if she's already if, you know, Blood and Cheese has happened, so she's lost a couple of grandkids. And then mm-hmm. if Aegon is injured. And then, because this is, she's mm-hmm. talking to, that would make so much sense because she's talking to Aemond.
Yeah.
So if Aegon has been injured and is, like, laid up, then she would be talking to Aemond as, like, the heir presumptive.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. Let's keep going. So we get more dragon in the rain. I think is that Caraxes? We don't know what dragon it is. Then it's the line: "Alison holds love for her enemy."
She does.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, girl.
And of course that shot is immediately followed with a shot of Rhaenyra. I just like this is the promo, right? This is like the gay promos they're doing. They've got like a line from Aemond saying Alicent, you know, holds love for our enemy, followed by an Alicent looking sad, followed by a shot of Rhaenyra also looking sad. I'm like, oh, I wonder what you're doing with your visual storytelling here, folks. Like,
yep.
Do you fucking get it?
Do you fucking get it?
The enemy she loves is Rhaenyra.
And that makes her a fool, according to Aemond.
Yeah, and talking to fucking Kristen Cole.
Oh my god.
These two dipshits would have a lot in common.
Truly. And talking to Kristen Cole and being like, it's foolish to love Rhaenyra, and also my mom is a fool for having love. And it's like, Kristen Cole banged Rhaenyra and also was obviously in love with Alicent.
Right.
Like, but
yeah, he wanted to run away with Rhaenyra and then switch sides and just, you know, and is like now kind of in love with Alicent.
He had sex once. It was awful.
He just wants a mommy dommy. Just wants a woman to top him, okay?
He likes it. He does. Mm-hmm. He can't tell anyone for his whole life.
Right. That he enjoyed being topped by a woman. He cannot admit.
Yeah.
It would ruin his masculinity in Westeros.
There goes his reputation out the window. Mm-hmm. Then we get shots of the north.
Wow, Jace I'm pretty looks sure. grown up.
Ooh, I know. Look at that jawline. Right. That's a handsome man.
Okay, he's I'm giving pretty sure he's the guy serving behind a him. Little bit of Paul Atreides, he's not gonna lie.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with serving Timothy Chalamet, okay?
That's true. Like, you would know. You have also done this.
Yes. I'm pretty sure the guy behind him is Craig and
it's
Stark.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
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 Okay. I mean, there's a wolf head sigil on his breastplate, so.
Yeah.
And the famous Cregan Stark of this time is, the famous Stark of this time is Cregan, so.
And we love him.
Black Alley's boyfriend.
Yes. Oh, let me get that. This is the same dragon.
Yeah.
I can't tell if it has spots on its wings or the wings are tattered.
Yeah. It's hard to tell.
The only dragon that's like, because I'm wondering if they're gonna get. I don't know if they'd get to dragon seeds. I think don't they do dragon seeds in the book after Rook's Rest?
Yeah. Yes.
Because Sheep Stealer could kind of look this way too, but
yeah, because it's after Rhaenys dies, and then they're like, hey, let's get more dragon riders because we lost one of our dragon riders.
Yeah. So I have a fan that's Moondancer. Gross, Christian Cole. He's riding a horse really intensely into a tree.
Okay, so horse, this line, the line that happens next, the enemy without might be fraught with swords, but the enemy within is more insidious. I would have no idea who is speaking this line if I did not have captions.
Yes, I completely agree.
And I feel like that's up.
It is Larys,
yeah, it's Larys Strong. And I feel like that's kind of a poor choice, like... If you're going to have a character speak in the credits, you should at some point tell us who it is, and I shouldn't have to have... Like, I have captions on all the time, because it helps me here. But,
Me too, yeah.
For accessibility reasons. But, like, I should be able to know who's talking without... Like, I shouldn't need that, but he's just, like, never appears on screen.
He's never shown. And, like, that's the easy thing, to tell your viewer who's talking... You just show them talking.
Right. Like, you can start with them not being the person talking on screen. You can have a voiceover, but you usually, like, if you do that, you end with them saying, like, the final line. And it's like, oh, that's who was talking the whole time. It's Larys Strong. We never see him.
Or vice versa. Yeah. Or vice versa. You start him. You start the shot with him. The enemy without maybe fought. And you cut to whatever else. Mm-hmm. And the voiceover continues. One way or the other, you show him speaking so we know who it is.
But yeah, we don't. So yeah, he's the one speaking over these rough shots.
Oh. Yes, we get a rough shot of Rhaenyra and a rough shot of Aegon.
I feel like that might prove Rook's Rest. Because this might be after Rook's Rest and he's been injured. This Aegon. I wonder.
Let me see.
He's like hunched over at the council table, like hair all stringy and like looks like he's holding his...
I think that maybe that Rhaenyra shot is after Rook's Rest when she's told about Rhaenys' death. Uh-huh. And I think that Aegon's shot is when he's told about the blood and cheese incident.
Oh.
That at least it seems like the parallel that it would make sense to me. I think when he's injured, he's injured. Like, he's laid up in bed.
But this,
that
makes sense. This is loss of a child reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that Aegon really seemed to care much about his kids, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. The enemy within is more insidious. Okay.
A naked... Rhaenyra? Okay.
I'm not mad about it.
I don't know what the context is. Then,
And then somebody falls into the ocean. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a lot of quick shots in succession. There's like some Valyrian dude that looks like... Who's those people behind the fans?
Yeah, right?
Okay, where's that? That's at 1 minute and 53 seconds. That looks like maybe Helena?
Oh, okay, so the shot at 152, sorry, right before the shot with the people with the fans, this is probably it's either Sir Adam or Sir Adam of Hull. It's one of the dragon seeds.
Yeah.
Because his plate armor has a seahorse. I paused it.
Yeah.
His plate armor has a seahorse, so he's going to be one of the dragon seeds that claims to be one of Corlys's bastard children. I bet.
Well, no, they claim to be one of Laenor's
bastard children. Yes, Laenor's bastard children, but we all know it's probably Corlys.
Right, everyone's like, oh, okay.
You're like, as old as Laenor? How are you?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Also, he was gay. Everyone knew that.
Right.
So,
so yeah, that's either Sir Adam or...
I forget the other one's name.
Does it begin with a... Hugh Hammer.
No, that's a different dragon seed. Oh. That's not one of his sons. It's another one with an A, but I forget. Mm. It's okay. We'll get there.
Ulf?
Ulf.
I think it's Ulf the White would be the other option.
No, I think there's a different dragon seed. Both of his sons don't claim dragons. I think only one does. Okay.
But yeah, it's...
I think Adam of Hull claims dragons. But alas, we'll get there.
It's one of the... Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then with the fans, that looks like Helena?
Yeah.
Question mark? I don't know what's with the fans.
I don't know what the context would be for that. But it does look like the top of Helena's head.
Yeah. Remember Helena?
And then we get Bela. Okay. Well, one of the twins. I can't actually tell.
Yeah, we don't know which one.
It would act, no, it makes sense that that would be Reyna, because the next shot is Bale, a dragon riding, so it might be Reyna watching her sister.
So that must be Moondancer, then. Yeah. Because you see the stripes on the wings?
Yeah, okay.
So that's Moondancer. Yep. Okay.
That's Moondancer. Great. We've figured it out. Moondancer has a very stubby neck.
Yeah. Moondancer little.
Yeah.
It's a little dragon.
Okay. We got some...
And then Missaria, there's more than one way to fight a war.
I am intrigued to know what role she's going to play.
Well, I wonder if she organizes the Cargill twins thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because that's a kind of subterfuge kind of thing.
Right. And we don't actually know what side she's going to be on.
That's true.
I would assume that she would side with Daemon, but I don't actually know what side she's on.
I wonder if she organizes the blood and cheese, or she helps organize blood and cheese.
Oh, yeah. And this line would make sense then. There is more than one way to fight a war.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Mm. I think you're right. Yep.
And then we just get a series of like 1 second shots of like different like things, and Alicent and them running through the crowd. That's obviously
after
the funeral.
More horses, people being blown up. That I'm pretty sure that's Rainey's. That we're getting the dragon rider shot from behind. That's
definitely Rainey's.
That's a red dragon.
And look at that giant hair. That's Rainey's.
That's Rainey's. But that saddle looks really cool. I'm just like, I love this dragon riding saddle.
Much better than what Dany had.
I mean, she had nothing. And then we get Aemond doing like...
Okay, wait. Go back to 207. Uh-huh. The shot of Rainey's on Melly's. In the distance is that same drum tower castle.
Oh, you're right.
So maybe this is Rook's Rest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it doesn't quite look like Storm's End, so maybe this is Rook's Rest.
Yep.
Oh, anyway, so you're saying, let's see, Aemond on our biggest girl. Oh my god, I love her. Go to 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
I know, right? He's just
kind of...
His legs aren't even in the stirrup. He's just holding on to like the steering wheel, the steering like rods or whatever. Man, I mean, controlling a dragon like Vhagar's got to be
basically impossible, like we saw last season. Yeah, yep,
right.
And then it goes on to tell us war is coming, and neither of us may win.
Mm-hmm.
And that we get that shot of Rhaenyra in front of Cervix Targaryen. What's the dragon's name?
Cerex. And that sigil at the end, I think, is black. It's hard to tell with the fire. The fire is...
I think it changes color. I think it changes between, like, black and gold. If you can... I would have to ask the person that animated it to be sure, but...
Yeah, and it... Because it's hard to tell changes. If it's gold because of the fire around it or if it's actually gold.
Well, but even if it's gold just because of the fire around it, you know, that's still...
Right.
Symbolic. It still appears gold. Yep. Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't think we didn't get anything totally new out of that we didn't have from the previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I feel like the two things that we could talk about are, like, the decision to change it to 8 episodes. From 10, because this season was originally slated to be 10, and they cut it to 8 for, quote, it was, quote, story-driven.
Okay.
Whatever the fuck that means. But it does at least mean that they're doing it because the story they want to tell, they want to end it in a particular spot. And the other thing we could talk about is the supposed new opening credits that we're getting.
Yeah. So,
which one do you want to talk about first?
I do... let's talk about the opening credit thing first. I do peruse the TikTok, as some of you may know.
What? TikTok?
And I'm not...
What are you talking about?
That Chinese spying app that the government's going to protect us from.
Tic-tac-toe.
The tic-tac-toe, a winner. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. I feel so safe now. This is like... I'll tell you a quick side story. I went, I traveled overseas recently. I went to France. And when I came back, I got stuck in the security line for like an hour because they pulled my bag. And I'm like, I got through it on the way here, no problem. Like, there's nothing new in the bag. Like, what could be the issue? They pulled out all of my tiny like travel soaps. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh shit, they're going to take all my shampoo or whatever. They didn't take it. They just put all the tiny travel soaps into a plastic bag and then put that plastic bag back in my bag. And I was like, thank you. I feel much safer now. That's thank you.
I'm sorry. You must have a container within the container. Otherwise, you might have like, a bomb.
I'm like, is this... This is the difference? And one of the soaps was like, it was like a face wash, but it was like a tiny travel size. And it was in my makeup bag. So they opened my makeup bag to take it out, to put it into the plastic bag. And I just...
Oh, our tax dollars at work, folks.
Much well, that was France. That was France's tax dollars. So I was much safer with the plastic bag. And now that Nancy Pelosi is tic-tac-toe, you're a winner for me for TikTok. Much safer, thank you. I feel so safe.
So safe. Because that's what we need to be afraid of. Loose travel-sized bottles of face wash and an app for people to like post videos of cats.
And an app that I like that collects my data that all the apps that I like do.
I mean, yes, right, yeah. That's, right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. Not to get off topic. But I'm not going to name accounts in this because I'm going to kind of roast people and I don't want to actually put them on blast. But I have been fed a lot of these like Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon accounts, especially now that the show is coming back. And some of which are really interesting and have like really interesting ideas. The majority of which have just like bonkers balls commentary. Yep. And like, and I send them to you for our viewers. I send them to Gretchen. And I'm like, how mad does this make you? And there's so many where they just like say like the most out of pocket random shit. And you're like, the fuck are you talking about? But this one account was saying that there's news that the intro was going to be different and that it was going to be this tapestry instead of like the machine of war that runs on blood. And I don't mind the concept of like an animated woven tapestry, but the way they presented it in the TikTok and the screenshots they had was all a tapestry of things Daenerys had done.
Yeah.
And the TikTok was kind of saying like, you know, because remember, like, this is all about Daenerys. This all leads up to Daenerys. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but the House of the Dragon is not about Daenerys. Nope. It's only about Daenerys insofar as much that she's related to these people very distantly. Mm-hmm. But it's not about Daenerys of Game of Thrones. I do think Fire and Blood as a whole is impactful on thematically Daenerys Targaryen's story in the books. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I do think that's like the like one of the main purposes behind it. But it's not like we need the intro of House of the Dragon to be all Daenerys. So that's what the TikTok said, but then you looked it up and you said it may not be the case.
Yeah, there was some comment I looked in the comments on that TikTok that was like, all the shots you're showing are from like an actual tapestry that someone made and for the actual Game of Thrones show. That like that's not that the shots that the creator of that video was showing were of a currently existing actual physical tapestry that someone made. That like
that would make more
sense.
And
that might have been, they might have conflated that with the information that has come out about the new opening credits. Because I was able to find a quote from Rolling Stone magazine that says, quote, "The dull season one opening credit sequence, which followed literal trails of blood through a stone structure, has been replaced with new animation that shows a tapestry of Targaryen family history being woven before our eyes. It's still not close to the all-timer Game of Thrones intro, but it's much livelier and more overtly speaks to the conflicts this show is dramatizing," end quote. So, like, that's all we know from, like, someone who has seen the first season, and I assume that they were told from like the first episode of season two, and I assume that they were told like minimal spoilers or like you can't, you know, but like,
yeah.
And I wonder if like the creator of that TikTok saw that or some kind of rumor that was similar to this and then like looked up House of the Dragon tapestry and like found pictures of this tapestry from Game of Thrones and was like, oh, that must be it. And it's like, it sounds more like, have you seen Wheel of Time?
I have not seen Wheel
of Time. Okay, so for anyone who has listened to, who has seen Wheel of Time, who's listening, like the, I wonder if it's going to be like the credits to that, which shows like the threads of magic. Like there are various different colored threads of magic that the various Aes Sedai use. And it shows those being woven into a tapestry of characters that they then like zoom back out at the end of the, at the end of the sequence, you see like various characters who exist on the show. And I'm wondering if it's going to be similar to that, but that we might see kind of like the Machine Runs on Blood showed various elements of the Targaryen history, like, but they were all like violent ones. I'm wondering if it's going to be basically very similar to the first season, only they're doing tapestry instead of like the stone machine.
Yes. I was going to say, it's really easy thematically to make a tapestry. It's really easy to make a tapestry thematically significant because you're talking about threads. Yep. That literally connect and come together and create something, right? Like an, a family, it could easily be metaphorically described as a tapestry. So, yeah. And I mean, I love me a tapestry metaphor. I think that's that's something that's, what do they use that in? They use that in the movie Brave, the Pixar movie Brave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like tapestries being woven and tapestries being damaged, it's... That, yes, I could definitely see them rolling with tapestry as something that is thematically significant. It makes me wonder if they're going to change the intro every time.
Yeah, maybe every season they'll do a different one.
Yeah.
Like, my only comments on this quote from Rolling Stone is, one, dull, get out. That was not dull. That was a great opening sequence that people, I think, just...
Didn't understand, myself included. I didn't understand it either.
Yeah, which is fair, but I was like, dull? Excuse me.
It's not dull. It wasn't dull. I will say it was hard to follow. Right. I think that's how I would describe it. I found it difficult to follow. Right.
And I think that I feel like the assumption that it is dull goes along with part of this quote that says, like, is comparing it to the Game of Thrones intro. That if what you want is, like, a cool pop-up map that's, like, that, like, literally has nothing thematically to do with your show, but, like, looks really cool. Like, it's, like, visually interesting and, like, fun, and it's, like, a clockwork mechanism, and it's really cool looking. Like, if that's what you want, like, something that's, like, not as, you know, key jingling, but, like, is thematically resonant is probably going to seem boring to you. Because what you want is something like, you want the cool pop-up map, which is fair. It's a really cool pop-up map. Like...
Well, I mean, the pop-up map would have been really useful in that show if they paid any fucking attention to geography when they wrote this script. I would have been great. The pop-up map would have been lovely if it mattered at all.
Right, but it doesn't.
But yeah, I completely agree with you. It's maybe they're going to combine, give us a nice little shiny object and also a theme.
Right, yeah. That,
you know, you can do both. We can do both. Listen,
yeah, you someone know. Can be many things.
So we were also talking about the 8 episodes. Yes. So, I liked your theory that it would end at Rook's Rest. 8 episodes to me makes sense ending at Rook's Rest because 10 episodes did seem like a lot to fill. And it's like, if they don't want filler, that's fine. I don't want filler either. Right. I think, you know, I want you to give me your best writing and your best scenes and your best shots. And, you know, I want you to spend your money appropriately to give me... a good product, not just a certain number of episodes. And actually, I think you talked about this once. The four of us did, you, me, Kylie, and Julia, on, I forget what episode, I think we did maybe a retrospective episode or something on UBS, where we were talking about whether seasons should be a certain length.
Right.
Because we were talking about season one and how like the cut in the middle and the switch of actors confused a lot of people and it lost a lot of people. A lot of people didn't like that. And... you know, whether seasons should be consistent. I personally like seasons to be consistent. But if you're going to give me the choice between here's 8 outstanding episodes or 10 where they're really good, but there's 10 of them, I would go for less product that's better quality. I would go for the former. I don't love that it's a different length. It confuses me that it's a different length. But... If they actually did it for story reasons, which I'm suspicious about, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes, but if they actually did it for story reasons, then I trust that that was a good decision.
Right. So the other, so this is from Deadline. I have a couple of quotes from Deadline, about the shorter season. that say, you know, that's where I found the quote that it was, quote, story driven. And then there's this other quote, and I was trying to see if I could find another source for it, but I was having trouble tracking down. But it said, the same article from Deadline said, with a portion of the plot originally intended for season two, including a major battle, moved to season three, it's more likely that the series is going to run for four seasons than three seasons. So, like,
okay,
they're moving something, a, quote, major battle from season two to season three. I don't think that's Rook's Rest, because we've seen a lot of shots that look like Rook's Rest. Mm-hmm. I think it's the Battle of the Gullet.
Yeah, I was about to say, they're moving, so that's Jace's death.
Yep, Jace's death. In one of the TikToks that you sent me, someone had talked about how it would make sense if season two ended with Jace's death, because we would have a really nice, like, parallel with, like, season one ends with Luke's death, season two mm-hmm. would end with Jace's death, and then, like, you know, that you would ending, like, kind of each season ends with, like, Rhaenyra's progressive losses. And there is something really poignant about that, and, like, that resonates really thematically, but I can also understand moving the Battle of the Gullet to another season.
Yeah, because I think two major character deaths in one season, like, I get spreading that out more, giving us more time with Jace, I think is important too.
I think it would make
kind of like how Robb Stark was killed at the end of season three. Like, we had enough time with him to care about him and to care about his military progress, you know. I think it would be a lot in one season to send Jace north, have him treat with the North, have him come back, have him go to the Battle of the Gullet, and have him die. Like, those would be, like, a lot of things to happen for Jace in a 10-episode span, and certainly not in an 8-episode span. Right.
Yeah, I also think that it creates then a new, when you do it that way, it's similar to the fact that they ended season one with Luke's death, and then they're going to be starting season two with Blood and Cheese. Mm-hmm. So you have, like, you know, death's kind of beginning and ending a variety, you know, this season. Yeah. So, like, I think that it makes sense to start season three with the Battle of the Gullet.
I don't even know that it would be that close to the beginning, though, because between Rhaenys' death and the Battle of the Gullet is the Dragon Seas.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a whole story in and of itself. Yep. So it would be probably near the beginning of season three.
Yeah.
But I don't, It kind of like how, what episode did Joffrey died in episode two or three of season four?
Yeah.
Like the Lion and the Rose was either episode two or three, I forget. Mm-hmm. So I think you can put a dead important death in that kind of part of the season, and then you spend the rest of the season kind of reacting to it. That would make sense to me.
Right. I do think we will get to meet the Triarchy this season, though. Because for those who aren't, you know, they're like, the Triarchy is involved in the Battle of the Gullet. I mean, and the reason I say that is because they cast someone to play the Admiral of, they cast Shadokalohar, who is one of the Admirals of the fleet for the Triarchy. So, like, if they cast Abigail Thorne, which I'm super excited for Abigail Thorne, good for her. Love this. It's great. Yes. That, like, if they cast her for season two, like, she's got to be in this season. But, like, that, just because she's in this season doesn't mean that we're getting the Battle of the Gullet. It just means we'll have some shots of the Triarchy.
They should introduce the Triarchy at this point, too. Like, just timeline-wise, it makes sense. And, like, it's better to introduce and, like, have them around for a bit. Like, we complained a bit and critiqued season one for having, like, introduce a character and kill them the same episode kind of thing. So maybe they're trying to avoid that, which I appreciate. My tinfoil hat theory as to why this is 8 episodes. The Last of Us 2, or sorry, The Last of Us Television, rather, announced that its second season was also going to be shorter.
Oh.
It's going to be 7 episodes instead of 8. My tinfoil hat theory is that HBO is cutting budgets. That's my tinfoil hat theory.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's true. I just know two big budget shows that they have that cost them just oodles and oodles. Just happened to, at the same time, happen to have fewer episodes than expected. It just sounds like a budget
cut. It could still make sense to move the Battle of the Gullet to season three for that reason, because that's going to be another, you're going to have a bunch of dragons. Your CGI budget's going to be pretty big for another big battle.
And the boats, and it's the boats on the water, and the, exactly. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I could see that being true.
Yeah.
Okay, I The more I was thinking about this Otto Hightower question, I feel like the more it makes sense to put it not in this episode, but the beginning of the next episode that we record next week. Because literally, like, where we're ending our next episode, the first chunk of Heirs of the Dragon, the next paragraph introduces Otto Hightower being named Hand of the King. And I was like,
yes.
Okay, like, this is, like, let's just slide this into, like, one of the episodes, like, the first episode we record next week. It was interesting to think That's about. I did a bunch of thinking about whether or not it works and what makes sense. And I, there's some fascinating things about the fact that, like, we have no idea how Otto Hightower is related to any of the previous Hightowers.
Oh, no! We don't have a family tree.
There's, like, we know that there's Martin Hightower, who was involved when, who was, like, Lord Hightower when Maegor was alive. He was the one whose brother, like, killed the High Septon. Right. And then we know that Donal Hightower took over at some point during Maegor's reign. There's a Donal Hightower. And then, then there are, like, several references to Lord Hightower, but he's not named. So there's a Lord Hightower who went in search of Sarah after she escaped. There's a Lord Hightower who staged the tourney when Jaehaerys was on progress, visiting Maegel in Old Town. But we don't know the first name of this Lord Hightower. It could be Donal. It could be some other one. And then when Sir Otto is introduced, like, Otto's older brother doesn't have a name. It's just like...
We know he's a younger son.
We know he's a second son. But, like, it's just like, Sir Otto Hightower. And you're like, cool, but, like, how is he related to any of the previous we have no fucking clue. Like, and I went on, like, the wiki of Ice and Fire to see if I could find a family tree. It's just, like, Martin, Donal, bunch of Lord Hightowers, and then Otto. And, like, we literally do not have a family tree for the Hightowers that covers the end of Maegor's reign. That, like, cover basically all of Jaehaerys' reign. We have no clue who's Lord Hightower or how Otto is related to any of them. Martin just did not care to explain any of that.
But he said his hand is fine. You got
he's
it.
He's like, yeah, just yeah. some Hightower.
Yeah, you get the joke. I do. Are you guys say the name Otto? Did you ever watch the show Rocket Power as a kid?
No.
It was like an animated show on Nickelodeon, and it's about like skater kids in like California. And the main kid's name is Otto.
Okay.
And so whenever I hear the name Otto, I think about Otto Rocket Power.
Nice.
Who's like this like kid with glasses who rides a skateboard. Okay, well, I think we pretty much did our analysis of this trailer. I know we're both very excited. So you guys know what we're doing in terms of podcasting regarding the new season. We talked to Kylie and Julia, and what we're going to do is what we did like last time, where we waited for the season to be over and then did a review episode by episode. That just works better with everybody's schedules and things that are going on. So we will be doing that probably at the end of the summer, starting that on Unabashed Book Snobbery. So that means that since we're not podcasting with the Unabashed Book Snobbery right now, Gretchen and I can go ahead and jump into our season two of House of Fire and Blood. So we can go ahead and start. So we will be starting next time with the chapter... A Question of Succession.
Well, it is called Heirs of the Dragon, A Question of Succession.
A Question. Oh, there we go. There, see, okay. I wasn't wrong. And we're reading through when they conclude that the Iron Throne cannot pass to an heir through a woman.
Yep. Top of page 351.
Yep.
If you are reading in the physical book.
Yes. So that is where we will be reading for next time. And this is going to be our season, our quote unquote season two, is how we're splitting it up. Our seasons are not a consistent length either. Because this is going to probably be much longer than the first one. We are going to be, I think for season two, pretty much trying to cover the dance. And we more or less break it down 10 pages at a time. So we'll be doing this forever. But man, do we have thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts about the next section, actually.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It's going to get real interesting real fast. So if anyone has questions, comments, concerns, feedback, if you want to be on the podcast, if you have any topics you want to talk about, we've had guests on. We love having guests. If there's a section of the story you want to be on, let us know. We do record in advance, so try to email us sooner rather than later. Our email address is houseoffireandbloodpodcast@gmail.com. That's all one word. And our Instagram is houseoffireandbloodpodcast. So you can reach out to us there. And if you guys want a podcast that's going to be covering House of the Dragon as it's coming out, I'm assuming post Game of Thrones is going to be doing that. PGOT, post Game of Thrones. You can find them on like any of the iTunes or any of the podcast apps. I'm pretty sure that they're going to be coming back with critique. I know, I'm very excited. And you can join their Discord too if you want to have live reactions during the show. Mm-hmm. I usually hang out on their Discord as well. Of everybody watching it all together and reacting together. It's quite fun.
And if one other thing, if any of you follow the Fandamentals, I think that Dan, one of our editors, might be trying to set up some watch-alongs at some point. Ooh. I may or may not be able to join. It's all going to be health permitting. It depends on how much energy I have. But think that if you follow the Fandamentals, we have our own Discord server, and that it would be via the Discord server. And I would like to appear at least once the season, but like I said, health permitting, it's going to depend on my energy levels. And we do, there was one, I just wanted to say one other thing. We had a question from one of our listeners about Otto Hightower. We haven't answered it yet. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say we got it. We've been thinking about it. We are going to slot it in one of our upcoming recordings. When we get to the section of Fire and Blood that introduces Otto Hightower, then we will tackle your question. So if you're listening, we have not forgotten. We are not neglecting you. Yes. We are just strategically slotting it into the section where we're actually going to be talking about Otto Hightower.
You should see the two pages of notes Gretchen wrote about your question.
It was a very good question, and it made me think a lot. So I have thoughts.
Yes. And I'm going to make one more shameless plug. I will be doing my reviews on TikTok of the House of the Dragon episodes. I usually like watch the episode and then do my immediate reaction right afterwards and post right after. My TikTok is Beelock, BEELOCK. And you can come follow me there if you want to watch some gay shit and some House of the Dragon shit and some lawyer shit and other random crap.
Last of Us shit.
For the length of some Last of Us shit, you know, whatever it is I'm feeling that day. There is no theme here. no themes, only shiny jangling keys. So, all right, let's get ready to sign off. Oh, no, you've already written your sign off, but I haven't written mine.
You got time.
All right, until next time. No, now I'm getting confused. It's Fluttershy is the company. Shutterfly is the model.
It's the other way around. Shutterfly is the company, and Fluttershy is My Little Pony.
Until next time, we are not endorsed by Shutterfly. Or which one is the company? Shutterfly is the company. we are not endorsed by Shutterfly, but clearly we are endorsing them. and I fully support Fluttershy as a name for a dragon. Mm-hmm. That is, I posit that as a name for next dragon. It should be.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Aegon's dragon should be Fluttershy. Facts. Yes. Also, remember that if you take anything away from this trailer, it should be that Alicent loves Rhaenyra. That's it. Most important thing.
Clearly. Obviously. our mother, our queen, holds love for the enemy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she wants to hold love for the enemy.
I don't know that she can allow herself to want that, but deep down she desperately does.
She desperately does. She wants to hold love for the enemy, yeah. Smart. That's okay, Allison. It's okay. You can be a late in life lesbian. It's fine. It happens.
Look, yes, this is a thing. Like, cis heteronormativity is a hell of a drug. And
exactly. Wow. What a way to say it. I love that. Cis heteronormativity is a hell of a drug. Episode title.
Fantastic. Right at the last minute, you gotta slide that one in.
Yeah, I got it in.
So yeah, it's a hell of a drug, and you know, like for some people, it takes longer to wean yourself off of it than others, and all of that is valid.
Yep. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you enjoy the new episode that comes out. I know we'll be very excited about it, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Oh, at work. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy. This is my office is going to get sued.
Okay.
We have an intern who started with us, who's lovely, and I don't know what their gender identity is, but they use they, she pronouns.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for all of the youth in the office, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
We're on it. We're good. The quickness with which I discovered which of my coworkers are weirdly bigoted about this was fascinating, because me and another person told everyone, like, oh, hey, like, we met the intern. The intern uses they, she, like, so you know. And the vast majority of people were like, cool, no problem. But a handful of them were like, I'm not using they because they is grammatically incorrect. It's not grammatically right to say they. They is plural. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, it's 2024. What are you talking about? I'm like, the argument that they is plural is an argument that happened in like 2010.
Yeah.
But we like move past that. I'm like, and also like, I'm like, we're suddenly really care about grammar. Everybody here who says me and you.
Also, singular they has a history that dates back to like the 1500s.
Also, singular they has it's used now when someone leaves like a file in the courtroom.
Yeah, it's an indefinite.
A person says, "Oh, someone left their file there." Someone left their file. Whose file is it? Not someone left his or her file. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. And I'm just like staring at these people, and I'm like, and I was arguing with them. Obviously, I was staring at them all. And making these various points, and finally they all calmed down there, and they were like, okay, well, like, we're gonna do it, but like, it's not correct. And I'm like, okay, it's not correct. That's very good. Don't say that out loud anywhere else.
Yeah, well, definitely don't, when you are talking to this person, be like, I will use they for you, but it's not correct technically. Yeah. Your gender is not grammatically correct. Also, language is fake. We have made it up, and the rules of it are fake, and we can do whatever the fuck we want with it, as long as people understand what we mean.
Also, gender is fake. Mm-hmm. It's all fake.
All of this is fake.
All of it fake.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that was the great thing that happened in my office this week. I'm like, how fast is there going to be a lawsuit?
Wow. Yeah, I only like soft launched gendered not my non-gendered pronouns at my work, partly because I'm a contractor, so like, I'm not technically like protected by HR. But like, sometime last year I did the they she thing in my email signature, and I had one coworker who I love her dearly, she's great, saw it immediately, like the next meeting that we were in, I didn't say anything to anybody, I just changed my email signature. The next meeting that we were in, Robin used they pronouns, and she uses they pronouns for me all the time. Never misses a beat. You know, she's like 50s. She's like a, you know, she's in that like younger boomer. Like, she was fine with it. Transitioned, no problem. Didn't ask about it, didn't make a big deal. I reached out to her and was like, oh my gosh, Robin, thank you for doing that. And she was like, oh, well, you know, it just made sense, and I wanted to be, you know, polite, and I saw your email, and like, and she was like kind of embarrassed that I called, that like I like, you know, thanked her. She's the only one who's done it, but like, I didn't make an announcement. I just changed my email signature, and a lot of people miss it. My email signature is now just they, them, but like, again, like, I don't, meh, whatever.
It's gotta be hard at work, because particularly like in the court system, like, I'm curious, because we're starting to get this now, where we're like, because I know I know of another office near me who hired someone who's non-binary, and I'm like, how is the court going to refer to them? Because the court always refers to counsel as Mr. or Miss whatever.
Oh.
And you're appearing in front of different judges, you're making filings in different places, plus your like ID, your like lawyer ID, your bar ID is assigned a gender, you know. So it's going to be quite a push, I think, in court related jobs, a push that needs to happen,
right?
But it's kind of just in its infancy. And I absolutely can see, like, judges don't like to be corrected. That's kind of what, like, we all that we do, because they're, like, dumb as fucking stumps. But they are. They really, truly are. But judges don't like to be corrected. And I think it's gonna be hard, worth it, but hard to get judges on board to like be good about that. We have in New Jersey, we've had good luck with trans inmates being housed in the correct places.
Oh, great.
So we actually in New Jersey have had several cases of trans in whatever direction, people being housed with their gender identity appropriately, which is surprising, but very good.
Right.
I'm glad about that. So, I mean, but it's interesting. It's definitely a hard at work to figure that out, I think.
Yeah, but I feel like nothing brings out the bigots harder than, like...
I'm like, why do we all have so many feelings about they, them? It doesn't affect you at all. And my one coworker was asking me about it, and she was like, well, what do I do if I get it wrong? And I'm like, you just correct yourself, it's fine. And she's like, it's hard, I want to do it correctly. And I'm like, you have to consciously think about it for a while, but then it will click. Mm-hmm. Like, it becomes part of your vernacular, and then you don't even notice it anymore. She's like, okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. Like, most of us who use different pronouns than you might expect, or have changed pronouns, or whatever, like, most of us are really nice about it. Are like really nice.
Exactly.
Like
if
you get it wrong, I have a friend who still consistently gets it wrong, and I know she's trying really hard. And she always corrects herself, and then we'll be like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." And I'm like, "It's fine. I know. Yeah. I know that it's. Yeah. I know that it's work for you. I know that like you're not used to doing it. I know that I am your only friend who like does it, and so you're not used to doing it. And it's only really when we talk to each other, you know, like." I live with queer and trans and non-binary people all the time, so I use it all the time. It's very common in my vernacular, but I understand it's not for you. And, like, that, like, I get it, it's weird, you know? I'm not gonna be an asshole about it. I understand. I will be an asshole exactly. if you are, like, openly bigoted or refuse to change or learn. But if I can tell you're genuinely trying, I'll be like, it's fine. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's they, them. Don't worry about it.
One of my coworkers said to me on the side, they were complaining about the they then stuff, and said like, "Oh, this is just a phase. This is gonna like be a phase that goes through and then is gone." And that coworker is older, and I was like, "Well, this phase is gonna outlive you. So how do you feel about that?" And they were all like, oh, and I'm like, oh. Too fucking bad.
That's amazing. I love that.
I'm like, you're gonna be dead.
Also, even if it were, which like I don't think it will be, but like even if it were, who fucking cares?
Who cares? Who cares?
Do it for a few years.
Do whatever you want. Live your life. There's enough difficulty in the world. Jesus Not to make Christ. This thing a difficulty too. You know?
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay, shall we talk about this trailer?
You wanna talk about the show?
Let's talk about this trailer.